This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Very glad to be with you today. Talk a lot of sports for you, with you on a Monday afternoon. And I'll tell you, we've got a great show in store for you today. We're going to talk first with Jesse Goldberg-Strasser of the Lansing Lugnuts. And a lot of you know, and maybe you don't know, but the Crosstown Showdown is Thursday between Lugnuts and Michigan State. And that should be an outstanding first game, a good way for them to open up their season and for the Spartans to get a little chance to play against some of the pros. So that's on Thursday, the Crosstown Showdown. And we'll talk about that with Jesse. And you get a chance to meet the Lugnuts on Wednesday. If you want to, you can go down and meet the Lugnuts, and we'll talk about that with Jesse Goldberg-Strasser, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, and how you can meet the Lugnuts on Wednesday and see them and get to know the players a little bit. And let's bring in Jesse right now and talk about the Lansing Lugnuts. Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
Well.
Hey, hi, Jesse. How's it going?
Going great.
Hey, yeah. We got the Crosstown Showdown Thursday, but more importantly, I think you can meet the Lugnuts on Wednesday. So tell the fans on how they want to come down and meet the Lugnuts on Wednesday.
Well, it starts at 6:30. Just come on down to Cooley Law School Stadium, located at 505 West Michigan Avenue. Just come on down. It's a couple of blocks away from the state capitol, between Cedar and Larch Streets. And again, it starts at 6:30 p.m. You get to meet all the 2012 Lugnuts.
Okay, and that'll be great. You get a chance to meet the players. And, you know, a lot of fans come down to that. We know each and every year. I know I'm always down there to meet the Lugnuts and the new Lugnuts. And that's always great because the fans get a chance to meet the players and meet them before they actually play their first game. So that will be a tremendous event for them just to get down and just meet and get a chance to be acquainted with some of their players and get their autographs, of course.
Exactly. Oh, as you come in, all the players will be waiting to sign autographs for everyone. And then I get to introduce who each of the players is, where they come from, and then afterward it's basically a mingle and schmooze. You get to ask the players whatever you want and welcome them to town.
Yes, a lot of the players, I know in most years, a lot of the players are from the Dominican Republic in that area. Will you have translators there, or do you have provide that access for people who need the translation?
We actually only have, by my count, only a couple of Latino players this year.
Oh, okay.
One of them was Carlos Perez, who was our catcher last year, and his English came along great. All of the players who Spanish is their first language, they mm-hmm. take English classes throughout the year, and they're all eager to try out their English. But meanwhile, we've got a very American team this year.
Oh, okay. That's going to be good. And yes, how much do you think the players have to learn about, you know, they know how to play baseball, but is there a certain style, American style of baseball that they need to get familiar with?
Well, I think the toughest thing for the players from other countries is that they need to learn how to live outside of the field. When they get mm-hmm. out there, when they put on their jersey, then everything becomes a lot easier. But once they get outside, and there was a great movie made about this called Sugar, ordering food at restaurants, figuring out what to do with their paycheck, how to use the bank, that gets very tough. And so a lot of those guys, if they're not comfortable yet, they don't want to leave their hotel room. They'll be on their phone or be playing video games, and they're very uncomfortable. And so the quicker the guys learn the English language, the more comfortable they are out in public.
Yes, because, yes, they have to get that. I know a lot of them, you know, their relatives and everything are back home in their native land. And so do you have to teach them how to use the banking system so they can send money home?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The banking system, that's hugely important. They have to learn, in some cases, how to properly take care of themselves with regard to, let's say, dental hygiene, with regard to how you exercise and work out and don't order out for pizza the entire time.
Yes.
You remember that these kids are generally only about 17, 18, 19 years of age, And so just like a high schooler going off on their own to be a freshman in college, a lot of these players, they don't have that experience living away from home.
So this is a good experience for them, for sure. What about the cross down showdown? You know, Michigan State and the Lugnuts have made a big deal of this, and of course, it's coming up on Thirsty Thursday, and that's a good way to start out Thirsty Thursdays with the cross down showdown.
Oh, it's going to be $2 drink specials. We'll be giving out commemorative baseballs to the first 2,000 fans, and it's all this Thursday at 7.05 p.m., and it's really great. I love the fact that the fans show up, and they root for players on both teams. You want to see the Spartans do well. You want to see the Lugnuts do well. It's a terrific time.
Yeah, it is, and that's for sure. You know, I've attended every one that they've had thus far, so they are great to have, and you know, it's a great program. It's great for the school, great for the university, and great for the Lugnuts. Lugnuts, a fine institution, for sure. And so, this is one of those events that you always look forward to. I know the Spartans will have to get adjusted to using wooden bats because they don't get a chance to use the wooden bats all the time.
They do, and because of that, there's only been one game in the whole series that's been high-scoring. The other four, and this is going to be the sixth annual this year, the other four are real tight, one-run games, low-scoring, dominated by pitching. And this year, the Lugnuts are sending into town some of the Blue Jays' brightest pitching prospects. So we're going to see future major leaguers taking on the Michigan State Spartans. And the Spartans, you know, last year the Big Ten champs, and
yes,
this year they've been terrific.
Yes, they have. It's going to be a dogfight of a ball game. We know that both teams are going to want to win, and if Lugnuts are bringing in some of their ringers from classes, that's going to make it a little bit tougher game.
So it's $10 general admission, seating 517-485-4500, the phone number, or go online to LansingLugnuts.com.
Okay. Now, what will you be doing? I know you're still doing the play-by-play. What else will you be doing?
Well, they're keeping us busy because that game on Thursday night, it will also be televised on the Big Ten Network.
Oh, okay.
So we have Eric Collins, who broadcasts for the Dodgers. He'll be coming into town with former Major Leaguer Scott Pose to call the game. So we'll be making sure that the Big Ten Network is all taken care of. I get to wake up super early to prepare. And then the very next night, Friday night, is our opening day against the team from Midland, Michigan, the Great Lakes Loons. So I think I might be a little busy.
You might be a little busy there. You might need me to give you a little helping hand.
Earl, you can stop by anytime you want. I'll have a headset waiting for you.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, Jesse, and of course, looking at the Lugnuts. You know, it's been a great franchise for a lot of years. As you know, I've known Tom, the owner, for quite some time. Good man, and you guys have done a very good job over all these years of promoting and bringing in the Lugnuts and bringing them into town and giving people something to do in this area. This was something that was sorely needed, and it's been they've done a very good job of that.
Earl, thank you very much. That means a lot. And the team really is a part of the community. It's not just guys coming in, playing, moving on out. It's part of the fabric of mid-Michigan now.
Yes, it is. And when you've changed the park a little bit over the years, not a whole lot, but a little bit of change. Some of the signs. So basically, give us an update on the park and how you've changed the park somewhat.
Well, this year we've added in a couple new things in the food department, which we think that's kind of important, that people coming in, they might be a little hungry or thirsty. So we now have a craft beer garden down the right side on the first base line.
Okay.
Just go on over. It's the first time ever having a craft beer garden at the park, so that's going to be great with Michigan local craft brews. And then we'll also have a gourmet hot dog stand this year called Frank's and a terrific dessert stand that people can stop by called Sweet. So every year we try to bring more food and drink options to the ballpark.
Well, yes, you know, a lot of us do like to get a little hungry from time to time.
You're sophisticated. You're a man of good taste.
You know, they're always good. That serves something. You know, of course, I've always had been a little bit partial to your popcorn. I like those big tubs.
Oh, yeah. Well, I agree with you there.
And that's always great. So, yeah, I'll look forward to seeing you. I'll see you on Wednesday before Thursday. So I'll see you on Wednesday. So that's good. I'll see you. And we'll talk a little bit about the game coming up on Thursday. And and all your ringers you've got coming in to face the Spartans.
Hey, we need some help to take on MSU. They're good.
Yeah, yes, they are. They are good, but, you know, they're just college kids. Hey, Jesse, it's always good talking to you, my friend. And we'll talk more before the game comes up. So let's again tell folks they can come up Wednesday down to Olds Park and meet the Lugnuts, right?
Cooley Law School Stadium. Now,
yep,
there's a
right.
change for you.
Yeah, that's true.
6:30 p.m. Wednesday night, meet the team. And then Thursday night, Crosstown Showdown presented by Auto Owners Insurance, 7:05 p.m.
Okay, sounds good, Jesse. Hey, thanks a lot, my friend, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Earl. Till then, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Jesse Goldberg-Strasser and talking a little bit about the Lansing Lugnuts. And it's down at the Cooley Law School Stadium. Yeah, I know I've got to get used to saying that. It's been there for Cooley Law School Stadium for a couple of years, so we'll have to get used to saying that. The time now, 16 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And stay tuned and talk sports with us. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking with you. At 1:40, we'll be talking with Joe Rexroth from the Lansing State Journal. And we'll get at his thoughts on who's going to win the national championship game tonight. Will it be Kentucky or will it be Kansas? I've been on the Kentucky bandwagon, just like most people. Most people have been on the Kentucky bandwagon all year long, so it's no secret. Most people believe that Kentucky is going to win the game. So we'll look forward to that, and that's going to be the game. I think Kentucky's still going to win it, and some people do like Kansas because Kansas has been good in the second half of games and coming back in the second half of games. They've been very good at that, and so do you think Kansas can make that spirited comeback, or do you think that Kentucky will get out to such a big lead that you won't be able to see them, Kansas, getting a coming back and winning the game? So that's just another thing to come along. Can Kansas come back and win? If they fall behind, many people believe they'll fall behind by 10 to 15 points, and then they'll have to fight back, claw back. That's the way they've done all year long. They fall behind, and then they come back later on and hopefully come back to win a game. So that's the way they've been before. Well, right now, let's chat with John from Holt. John, how you doing?
Hey, good, Earl. What are your thoughts on tonight's game? I'm going to pick Kansas in a close game. I think they got the size, they got the point guard, and they're more experienced than the Kentucky Wildcats. Plus, their coach has never lost in the Final Four in the history of coaching.
Well, I'm still going with Kentucky there. I think they've got that big front line that they'll use, and they've got the forwards. So I'm going with the bigger Kentucky team. You know, everyone thought, most people thought at the beginning of the year that Kentucky just had too much for any team. And so far, they've won all their games quite handily. So I'm going with the favorite. No secret there, as most people are. Most people are going to go with the favorites, but hey, there are some, like you're saying, Kansas, they're good enough to win. They can come back. They can, they might fall behind, and they'll battle back. We know they won't quit. That'll make it a battle for sure.
Hey, Earl, two things about what you said. First of all, Kentucky plays in the SEC, in my opinion, which is a very, very easy conference. There's only a team like Florida that is a very good team. The rest of the conference, to me, is very weak in that conference. That's why Kentucky has such a good record. And secondly, Kentucky, yes, they are very, very talented, but they're very inexperienced. Most of those guys are freshmen and sophomores. And actually, Kentucky's front line is smaller than Kansas. Mm-hmm. Kansas has the 6'10 guy and the 7-foot center. I mean, you can't get any bigger than that.
That's true. That's true.
And they got the play Sean Taylor. I mean, there's not very many more talented point guards than him.
Yeah, you got that.
I go with Kansas in a close game. It's something like 75-71.
Okay, sounds good, my friend.
I hope you're wrong, Earl, because I really like Kansas, and I do not like John Calipari at all.
Okay.
I think he's very questionable in his recruiting tactics, and I think he even borders on cheating, in my opinion. Yeah. I can't prove that, but that's just my call.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, thank you. And a lot of people said that about Calipari. He's questionable tactics in recruiting for sure, but he gets such good young players. He gets a lot of players that are basically NBA ready. And so if they're NBA ready and they're this year's team, they're playing more mature than the teams he's had in the past. So we'll see if Kansas, which is a more veteran team, a little bit more experience, and that usually plays its way out and should play its way out in that game. So I can understand. I can see Kansas winning, John. That's for sure. So it'll be a good game. I'm looking forward to that. 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
There's a peace plan for Syria, but little actual peace. A year after civilian protests met with a brutal government crackdown, the UN counts 9,000 dead. Residents report military forces go door-to-door, killing almost at random. Rebels fight back and target government and military leaders. I'm Neil Cunningham. The next steps on Syria, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. The high today, 55 and mostly sunny. Tonight, the low, 38, with a chance of some light rain and isolated thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, the high, 62. Wednesday will be a sunny day. Look for a high in the upper 50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, in case you haven't seen it or heard it, the Detroit News Dream Team is out today. And if you hadn't seen it, let me tell you who's on the Dream Team. Of course, the center for the Dream Team is Matt Costello. He's heading to Michigan State, 6'10 senior. And, he is one. Also on the team is Monty Morris from Flint Beecher, 6'1 junior. He's being recruited by Arizona State, Butler, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Michigan, and Southern California. Connor Tovar from Warren D. LaSalle, 6'6", and he signed with Western Michigan, and he's 6'6", senior. Then Denzel Valentine, he's also on the team, 6'5", senior. He signed with Michigan State. And then James Young from Troy, 6'6", junior. Young might be the most athletic player in the state since Manny Harris at Detroit Redford. Young is a left-hander who is quick, going to the basket, and finishes in a variety of ways. He averages 22.7 points a game. He's a sophomore. He averaged 25.1 points, 10.5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. And he's considered signing. He's talked with Kentucky, Michigan State, and Ohio State are some of the schools that he is considering. So those are the top dream team, their first team dream team of the Detroit News. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, Jacob, who do you think's going to win tonight? Who you got tonight? You going with Kentucky or are you going with Kansas?
I'm going with Kentucky by 8.
You're not going to get out there on the limb? Take the underdog.
I'm not. I picked Kentucky from the beginning. I actually have. I correctly picked the national title game. Okay. And so at this point, I can't turn back and say it's going to be anybody else. I think, Kentucky is young and they might play in a weak conference. I think the conference thing is kind of at this point, kind of doesn't matter. They got this far in the tournament, so that would have slipped them up, and against Louisville, for instance, and they showed great poise in that game after Louisville was able to tie that game up in the middle of the second half at 46, and they ended up just blowing it out after that. At Kentucky, I really like just because they're so explosive. I mean, if
they are.
Kansas can come back, but Kentucky just goes on these explosive spurts where they'll just score 8 to 10 points in a minute and a half, 2 minute window, and it's really hard to defend against that, against a sustained time. So I think that it'll be close. I think it'll probably get like we saw in the Kansas Ohio State game where Ohio State pulled away early and it looked like Kansas was just going to get trounced. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that where the halftime score is maybe a 12 point edge to Kentucky, maybe a 10-point edge to Kentucky, gets closer in the second half. But they end up pulling away. Kentucky, a lot of national title games come down to free throw shooting. So whoever shoots the free throw the best, I think wins. But I think it's Kentucky by 8.
Okay, well, that's a good one. I like Kentucky. I think it'll probably be a little bit closer than 8 points, but I like Kentucky in the game. And, like you, I picked them from the beginning, so no surprise. Most people did that. I think they picked them because they just felt they were the stronger team, and they played out that way all year long, and that's the way it's played out, among the two teams. So, yes, I'm going with Kentucky as well. It should be a good game tonight, that's for sure, and I'm looking forward to the game. And then also, did you look at the women's game at all last night?
No, I did not watch. I saw who won, but I did not watch any of the action.
Okay, well, I did, and I watched Baylor. And Baylor, I can see where they can get beat. I mean, they could get beat. I mean, even though they won the game, there's some things, some flaws in Baylor's game, which it really should surprise me, because Brittany Griner works so hard to get open and post up so well, and a lot of times her teammates didn't throw her the ball, even though she's posting up. I mean, the closest girl to her is 6'3", 6'4", and I was surprised they didn't go to her more, or at least her teammates didn't go. They were up there jacking up three-point shots, jacking up shots on their own, and they didn't. And I saw a couple of girls just go right past and went in for their layups. And I guess that just surprised me a little bit that they didn't go to Griner a little bit more. I just thought they would, but they had enough to win the game. They hit enough outside shots, so I said, okay, so since this is the big time, you would like to think the players would basically – go to the horse that got them to the dance. So she certainly got them there, but it looks like a lot of them wanted to play on their own and make their own name. So it'll be interesting to see how that game goes. But I'm going to give a reluctant vote to Baylor, but I see them. They could definitely lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're forcing me to pick, I'll go with you. I'll pick Baylor. I think it's a good pick. They're a good team.
Yeah, they are. And Brittany Griner, I mean, 6'8" and she's got such a long 7'4" wingspan. She's good. She's very, very good. And that should be a good game, that's for sure. I think they're playing, Notre Dame? I think they're playing Notre Dame, yes. So and Notre Dame is a pretty good team as well. They've got some good players there. So this should be a very, very, very good game between two very talented teams. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Well, let me ask you this. Did you peek at the NBA anytime soon?
I have not really, no. I don't know. I can't get into the NBA. I just don't get excited about it. I saw the Pistons won. They beat the Bobcats in overtime, which is, not much to hang your hat on, to be honest.
Yeah, they're the local team. They're trying to get better. But the game I was looking at yesterday, you didn't get a chance to see the Chicago Bulls and the Oklahoma City
I did
Thunder.
Not know.
Yes, they were. That was a good game for Oklahoma. They beat Chicago, who had the best record in the league, and that's one that a lot of fans were looking for because Miami's still in the hunt for the NBA championship. Miami and of course Oklahoma City, they're winning out west. They could, and Miami is in the east, and it'll be interesting to see when you get down to the Final Four in the NBA. Who's going to come out of the East and who's coming to come out the West? Right now, people think that the Lakers won't be able to be the one who represents out of the West. It'll probably be Oklahoma City, and it could be. It could be them. It could be on the East. They're still thinking that Miami will come out of the East, part, but, you know, it could be Oklahoma, you know, out of the East. It could be Miami, and, you know, they've got to win the whole thing. You know, they would be very unsatisfactory if they didn't even get to the finals. But they're that's the dream team, supposedly. Supposedly they're good enough to win the whole thing. We'll see. We'll see if they will be, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And, of course, tomorrow we have the big hearing between Roger Goodell and Sean Payton, and also their GM, you know, they'll have that. Well, Sean and Mickey Loomis will be in there as well, the assistant to the head coach, general manager, that is. So that'll be one to see. We know it's not going to change. That will still stay the same. It'll still be the same. But, you know, Roger Goodell will just say, okay, you know, they say they wanted some props as far as the outline and give them some touches on the outline. How are they going to streamline this whole hearing thing? How will it be? How will Sean Payton be handled in this whole year? How much contact can he have with the team? That kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to hear how Goodell structures it for Payton. Will Goodell structure that, and how will Payton handle that being suspended for a whole year? Cause that's a lot. I mean, he's going to lose $5.8 million for that whole year. But if he can get some structure, and we still don't know yet if Bill Parcells will be the interim coach for the year. So that's another thing. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle all that and how Roger Goodell handles it, because this is a first kind of suspension that they've ever had that they will have as far as, you know, how they will structure the league. Because this is the first kind of suspension about, you know, with tactics, with injuries, and with the tactics that they have. They've got the injury tactics, and they've got the other things they want to find out. But, you know, this is going to be interesting to hear how Roger Goodell handles this whole thing. You know, it's going to be something he's going to have to deal with, and all these players and this whole bounty system. You know, they all believe that it's not a thing that's happening or going on, but a lot of us think out here in the that it's something that goes on all the time. Now, they've made it clear that it hasn't been going on all the time, and I don't know if you want to believe that it doesn't go on or that it does go on. What do you think? Do you think, Jacob, that bounty system is always going on, and, or that it really hasn't been going on? It was just isolated incidents from New Orleans.
I don't. I mean, I would tend to believe it's more of an isolated incident. That's just kind of my gut. I mean, in terms of this kind of scale, this kind of organization and whatnot. But I'm curious. What do you think about the possibility of Bill Parcells possibly coaching the Saints?
Yeah, that's a good one. It could be. That's for sure. And I think that would be a good. It's only going to be interim for a year,
yeah.
So that I think that would be okay if Bill wants to do that. And it does seem like he might want to do it. You know, he's not saying outright that he wouldn't. He says, you know, it does seem like he wouldn't mind coaching the team for a year.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I almost feel like that could either go really well or really poorly, to the point where, you know, you might be further fracturing a team that is already fractured by bringing in an outside guy for a year instead of promoting up an assistant on an interim basis. So I don't know. I'm kind of mixed at the possibility of that. It could really backfire on them, and it could be a lot worse than what it might be if you just, you know, promoted an assistant.
Well, you know, Parcells and Sean Payton, Payton used to worked under Parcells. So I don't think I think, you know, because of the friendship they've worked so many years ago, that it shouldn't go too badly. I would say I wouldn't think it would be. But, you know, who knows? You know, it might a little bit, but that's the other thing. Parcells has made it clear he doesn't want to be a head coach or anything again. So, and he's 70.
He just wants to be a substitute teacher. That's basically what he's doing.
Yeah. Yep. Being a substitute teacher, yeah, that'll be a good thing for him, basically. Get him a chance to get his feet wet for a little while. He might want to know. This might tell him whether he wants to come back later on in a full-time gig or not, or is he really done retired and he doesn't want to.
Well, he's only retired like four times now.
It's like
everybody in sports, they just, you know, when they actually retire, it's you just take it with a grain of salt and you say, okay, yeah, we'll see.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, and one other thing we've got coming up, we've got the Final Four coming up this weekend too, don't we? In hockey.
Yeah, the Frozen Four, yeah.
The Frozen Four, that is, yes. So that's another thing that's coming up. So the winter sports season is slowly winding down. We have the NBA, the NHL playoffs starting soon. Nothing like, because I've always liked the NHL playoffs. That's one playoff. Usually in the NBA playoffs, might makes right. Usually the top seeds win and get to the final, maybe one or two for the most part. But the NHL, anyone from 1 through 8 can win it. And, you know, if they win it because, if the goaltender gets hot, somebody's goaltender gets hot, they can carry a team all the way to the Stanley Cup.
I usually actually pay attention to hockey towards the playoff time. And usually the most of the pro NBA I'll pay attention to in the playoffs. But, hockey playoffs, they always are interesting. It almost feels like the team that everybody thinks going in is going to win it never ends up actually winning it.
That's true, yeah, because very rarely do I see the team that's the favorite usually win it. Usually it's one of those teams that, you know, we don't know, that we don't hear a lot about, that usually comes out of nowhere and wins the hockey playoffs.
Yeah, so whoever everybody thinks is going to win this year, I'm just going to pick somebody else, anybody else. I'll take the field, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, that's a good one. It's going to be the true test. And, of course, now that basketball is just about over, college basketball is over, then we'll have to focus more attention on the NBA once we get the college basketball season out of the way. And it's almost over. And, you know, how about that special event that Draymond Green won yesterday? He won another nice award. And it certainly is rewarding to see a guy who's very, very deserving win some awards. I mean, he's a guy who's did everything his coaches wanted, did everything his teammate wanted. He did everything to help his team win. And, you know, that's all you can ask for from a player, that they do everything they can to help the team win.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what he did. And, you do what your coach asks of you, and if you do that, you will be rewarded. And he was a fantastic player, a fantastic leader, and much-deserved award, yes.
Yes, and that's the thing. A lot of players, or even players, when they hear, they think, oh, they're sort of jealous of a guy like Draymond. A lot of players, they don't say he doesn't deserve, he didn't do enough, and yet he did everything that was asked of him. I mean, and some people are really, they look on a kid like that, they don't look at him favorably because he did everything that the coach said, and he did it well. He did it all well.
And that's actually one of the big reasons I don't enjoy watching the NBA, because it was just this past week where we had the situation with the Magic, where you had Dwight Howard and Jameer Nelson sitting on the opposite side of the bench at a timeout, just kind of moping around, just over there, not with the huddle, not with the team. And it just kind of, that was just like the perfect picture of this individual nature that you have in the NBA, whereas in college basketball, you have a guy like Draymond Green, who's a fantastic individual player, but he can score a lot of points and score a lot of different ways, but he has just as many assists as he has points on a lot of nights. So that's what I really think makes the college game great.
That's true. The time, 40 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
David Crystal says every language tells its own story once you come up with the right words. His latest challenge, come up with 100 words that tell the story of the English language. I'm Neil Conan. From loaf to music to unfriend, the story of English in 100 words. Linguist David Kristol joins us next. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The high today, 55 degrees and mostly sunny. For tonight, there's a chance we'll start to see some light rain and thunderstorms with a low of 38. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tuesday's high 62. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny with a high of 59. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Right now, let's bring in our good friend from the Lansing State General, Joe Rexroad, is with us. So let's bring in and talk to Joe. Joe, how you doing, my man?
Good. How's it going, man?
Okay. Well, you know, we've got the final game coming up. So I know who you're probably going to go with tonight, but tell us who you're going to go with.
I've got Kentucky in this one. I really thought Ohio State.
I did too.
Might have given them a little bit of a game. I thought that could have been interesting. I mean, it's not like, I guess I look at Kansas and they do, of course, Kentucky drilled them earlier, but. And they do have, some matchups. At least they have a big shot blocker in there to kind of go up against Davis and Withy. And Thomas Robinson's a very good player. But I look at Kansas. I mean, they should have lost the game to Purdue. I mean, honestly, I think if Bill Self was to be honest, he might say this is about his sixth or seventh best team at Kansas. I think it's not a great year for them. It's kind of a transition year, and he's got all the way to the final game. Kudos to them. They've obviously got some special chemistry. Yeah. They've been able to pull some of these games out, but this looks like a mismatch to me.
Yeah, it does. I'm thinking the same way. I think we all picked Kentucky at the beginning of the year because they have so much talent and they're such a good team. And, it's not a surprise that, you and I and people like us will go against Kansas to win the game. I mean, I think, like you, I think that they're pretty surprised, pretty lucky to get this far. But they are a good team, and they have been able to pull the games out, by out of the hat, basically.
Two teams I would have liked to see play Kentucky in this tournament are Michigan State and North Carolina. I had that Final Four. I had Kentucky beat Michigan State, but I thought that could have been a really interesting game. And then I actually had Carolina beating Kentucky in the final game, obviously with Kendall Marshall, because they have so much length. They had a good game earlier this year, but they have so much length. And, Marshall's an excellent point guard, and I think they could, match them athletically. Michigan State couldn't quite, but with Payne, his size and his length, I think he could have at least been a guy who could have run Anthony Davis around a little bit. And then you kind of, that combo with Knicks, you put your butt into someone and maybe you get a hook shot off before they can block you. That would have been interesting. I think Brandon Dawson, again, I'm talking a healthy Michigan State kid, yeah. Gilchrist, that would have been a fun one to watch. And I think Keith Apping really could have done some, defended Teague well at the point. But, unfortunately, we don't get to see either one of those matchups in this tournament. And like I said, I also thought Ohio State, could have. I just loved the way Kraft's playing. I still can't believe Ohio State lost that game the other day. They were in such control. But when Deshaun Thomas got into foul trouble, it totally bogged down their offense.
Yeah, it really did. And, I was surprised, like you, that they lost the game. I thought they had enough. And, we've seen them at times where one shooter, they depend so much on one shooter instead of, spreading it around. And that's one thing that about Ohio State I just didn't like, because they get sometimes, they get really pinned down one person shooting the ball. And it seemed like they happened to them again when they, it's like they were lost out there once Deshaun Thomas got in trouble, in foul trouble.
Yeah, and when he's out there, it's just you're going to bring in, the defense has to extend more, on your four-man. I mean, when it's Ravenel, there's no worry about him shooting from outside. So, the defense can pack in a little bit more. And I think that was a big thing, too. And, Buford didn't have a great game. He hit some shots early, but then he sort of disappeared like he's done at times this year. And It's too bad they still, with it's just a few, a couple of turnovers that they could take back, they still probably pull that game out.
Okay. We got a caller for you. We got Dave from Kalamazoo. Dave, how you doing?
Well, hi. I sort of watched that Ohio State game, and I really thought the best thing that happened to Ohio State was Sullinger getting into foul trouble early against Syracuse. And he didn't have the tired legs that it really looked like he had trying to play the whole game. The next week, I just thought that Sullinger's legs, he went a whole game and sort of got exposed for, you know, he's just not a 40-minute player, like it or not. And I had one question about Calipari, and maybe Joe knows this, or Earl knows this, but did the NCAA decide to waive that you must have academic progress, or have they changed the rulings or how they define how you handle these one and done situations? Because I would guess that the way these guys seem to be up and leaving Kentucky at such a rate that Kentucky's not going to have any scholarships left anymore. I'll hang up and listen to your comment. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I don't think they've changed the way they've handled the whole academic situation, have they, Joe? I haven't heard of anything.
No, they didn't change it. I mean, there's two things that are part of that equation. It's APR, that's progress, and retention. Mm-hmm. So retention's part of it, but if you leave in good academic standing, which apparently their guys are, then you'll be okay. It's guys who leave who aren't in good standing that'll really kill you, which, of course, you know, we've seen with UConn and in some other places. So even if guys only go for 1 year, now there is still you still have to have other guys. I think if it was all one and done, then, you know, even if they were all in good standing, I don't have the exact formula, that it could eventually cost them. But obviously they have other guys who, you know, go to school for 3-4 years or whatever it is. I mean, Darius Miller's a senior this year and a few other, you know. So it's across your team. So you can absorb some one and done as long as they leave in good standing, which, and I have not heard of a Kentucky player leaving and then, you know, having flunked out of, or, you know, just like not gone to class in the second semester, which, of course, is one of the big possibilities here with the one and done. Happened with a couple Ohio State kids I know a few years ago. But so as of now, they're okay on that. And then I thought it was a good point about Sullinger's legs. I mean, he got a shot blocked a lot in that game. I heard some reaction from, you know, especially some national writers saying, wow, Sullinger's really hurting himself with the NBA. But, you know, if you're an NBA GM who's watched him for 2 years, that's who he is. I mean, he does struggle with long players. Adrian Payne blocks the shot a lot. I mean, you know, in the pro game, he's going to have to be able to step out, hit some jump shots, be more of a four man. But I still think he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, I would say that for sure. I mean, yes, he might have struggled a little bit, but, you know, he still can play 40 minutes. He can't play 40 minutes totally effectively, but he can still play 40 minutes, which a lot of players, teams would look at a guy, hey, if we got him out there for 37 or 38 minutes, but they know he can play 40 minutes, and he's done that. I don't know if he can play much more than that, but he's probably a good 40-minute player in the league.
Yeah, I think he does seem to improve his stamina. I mean, maybe that did help him to get some rest, you know, some forced rest in that Syracuse game. But, I mean, he's got to work on some things. But he's still a guy who, you know, even late in that game, when he got himself low and got position, he got that hook shot off easily over with him and scored. So, I mean, you know, I'd take him on my team.
Oh, yeah. I think we'd all take him because he's a good player. And I know some people have been knocking on him, but he's been a good player for his couple of years. And now, you know, he'll be a good player. If he decides to leave, we haven't heard whether he's going to – he hasn't declared yet. So we don't know. Maybe he'll stay another year. That's possible.
I guess. I mean, I think it sounds like a foregone conclusion that he's leaving. But, yeah, I guess anything's possible. And then the interesting thing will be – Deshaun Thomas, you know, because some people who I know some people cover Ohio State who think there's a real good chance he leaves, and he probably did raise his stock a little bit during this NCAA tournament run. So they lose both those guys. That's, that's definitely a rebuilding season next year for the Buckeyes.
Yeah. Well, Joe, let's talk a little football. Spring football is going on now. with Michigan State. And that's the thing with football. You know, guys have to stay 3 years. And do you think we might see a couple? I mean, we saw Jarrell Worthy leave a year early. Do you think we might see if someone has been redshirted or just been on the bench for a year and then they have that breakout junior year, that we might see more guys leaving for the league after 3 years and just have one good year, you know, in the college game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's been some. I mean, of course, with Worthy, you know, he actually could have gone after his second year of playing because he did redshirt, but he came back for this year, and I think that was a good move by him. But yeah, I think, you know, you can see at times, and from the Michigan State perspective, I think the next guy to look at is Will Golston. I mean, he's going to his third year, and if he plays like he did in the Outback Bowl against Georgia, at times it looked like he seriously was playing with children out there. He was just in their backfield all day. If he plays like that for a whole year, I think we're going to be asking him a lot about what he's thinking about the NFL. I think you're going to start seeing him on some mock drafts because, you know, we're talking about a 6'7", 280-pound guy with a lot of athleticism at a high-demand position. And not saying he's ready to go or he will go, but I think that's the next guy I would look at as, you know, someone to keep an eye on. I mean, he didn't play like that the entire year, but he definitely got much better from his freshman to sophomore year, and you can see where he could be a dominant defensive end at the college level.
He could, and his cousin went, who's been just hanging around in the pros. It's never been great, but, you know, he's been hanging around for 3 or 4 years. I think that's his cousin, the other Golston.
Vernon, who played at Ohio State. Yeah, and I know his career has kind of hit some rough patches here lately, but he was a high pick. I want to say he was like the seventh pick or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Came out from Ohio State, and but you know, I know he's played a little 3-4 linebacker too. But it'll be interesting to see it. I have no doubt that at some point Will Golston will be wearing an NFL uniform.
Yeah, that's for sure, because he's good. Boy, you just wonder, because of the injury factor, you know, I'm definitely not surprised that more guys don't leave. But after 3 years, I would say if any guy has a good junior year, I'd be out of here. Because the injury factor is so great in football, that's the thing that would scare me and want me to go to the pros and try to make some money. If I have that good junior year, I wouldn't do like Greg Jones did. Greg Jones came back and it worked out for him, you know. But I wouldn't take that chance after the third year and come back, just to play for the college and all that stuff they'd like to play for. It's just taking too big of a chance.
Yeah, well, although, you know, you come back to get a degree, too. But,
yes.
But yeah, I hear you. Certainly in football, you know, I remember Drew Stanton, some guys do this. I mean, Drew Stanton got a Lloyd's of London insurance policy going in. You know, he came back for senior year.
Yes.
And, you know, got the whatever million-dollar policy or whatever it was just to at least, you know, make sure that he would get something if he had a career-ending injury as a senior. And, of course, he ended up going the second round, and he's going to end up making a lot of money for himself and very possibly not putting himself in too much harm's way doing it. So, but that is one route which I would look at. If I was one of those guys and I decided to come back, I would certainly look into a hefty insurance policy at least.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, we see that Kirk Cousins is – it's amazing how far he's moved up. I was looking at one of the draft boards, and I've got one of the books, and he's moved up to the third best quarterback coming out. I mean, I didn't think he would be that high. I think we all thought he would be a little lower, but he's moved up into that position where he might be the number three quarterback off the board. Just reading some speculation, he might be taking the lower part of the first round or definitely in the second round. I'm just surprised that he's risen up that high.
Yeah, and I mean, some people still look at him more like a third-round guy, but, it's awfully impressive. I'm not surprised that he impressed people. Certainly when you talk about interviews and things like that, I mean, you can't help but be impressed. But
right.
Tell you what, the name in the game in the NFL is accuracy. You know, it's not athleticism. It's not being 6'4 and, you know, being able to throw a ball through a brick wall. It's accuracy, and it's being able to read a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know Kirk Cousins is never going to blow anybody away with his measurables, but You know, neither did Tom Brady, and I'm not saying he's the next Tom Brady. Neither did Drew Brees. I'm not saying he's the next Drew Brees. But those are the two guys who come to mind, and of course, they're both Big Ten guys.
Yeah.
When I look at Kirk Cousins, it's, if you can deliver, if you can go to your second and third option, look off a safety, do your progressions, and throw the ball accurately. You know, they just there are a lot of guys out there who are gonna, you know, Jamarcus Russell blow you away. Sit on his knees and throw the ball 80 yards in the air, but that's not what it takes to win the NFL. And, you know, we've seen where his career is going. Not to pick on Jamarcus Russell, but I'm just saying, I think some people get in love with the workout warriors, and there's just more important things at the quarterback position. So I think Kirk Cousins is in good position here to be drafted in a prominent spot, and hopefully he goes to a place where he can be a backup, be an apprentice, learn a little bit, and, you know, someday get his chance to start. And, you know, maybe Brian Hoyer will have a chance to start somewhere as well. I mean, I think Cousins is a little bit better player than Hoyer. But obviously, you know, the last two quarterbacks, and really the only two quarterbacks out of Mark D'Antonio's time at Michigan State, look like they are set up for prominent NFL careers.
And that would be good. Hopefully they'll both make that. You know, let's go back to basketball a little bit. Do you think that this game, I'm sort of getting the feeling this game has been hyped too much. I mean, the national championship game. Do you think over the last few years this game has been hyped too much?
Is this the final game, you mean?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, there's only 2 days, you know, and of course in that 2 days it's going to be a lot of hype, but I kind of like how it sets up. I mean, we've had some disappointing championship games. I love the NCAA tournament. It's my favorite sporting event. I think it's the best sporting event there is. But the Final Four doesn't always deliver. You know, when it delivers, then it's great. I mean, a couple years ago, Michigan State and Butler had that, you know, low scoring but still very exciting game. And then Duke and Butler, you know, I mean, Hayward's half quarter just misses to win that game.
Yeah.
So sometimes it delivers, sometimes it doesn't. Last year it was just an awful, awful championship game with Butler and UConn.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worse than the Michigan State-Wisconsin Final Four game from 2000. I think it was the same score, if I'm not mistaken, but terrible. So, but, you know, you can always count. To me, on the NCAA tournament, the first two weekends are going to be fantastic. You know, we didn't have the buzzer beaters and things like that this year, but it was still some great games, some great upsets, everything you look for. And then this weekend, I did like the two Final Four games. I mean, at least Louisville gave them a run. And then, obviously Kentucky went down to the very end. But I don't know. I don't know if this is too hype, but this is an easy one to hype, I guess. The two winningest programs in college history. I wish it was a more competitive game on paper. And maybe we'll be all blown away tonight and Kansas will give them everything they've gotten. Hey, maybe Bill Self will get Calipari again, like he did in 08 when he had no business winning that game,
right,
by the way.
That's true.
the NCAA is sure glad he did, because if he didn't, there would be no national championship for 2008, of course, because Memphis had to vacate all those games. But I don't know. I hope it's good tonight, but I'm not terribly optimistic.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's good too, because I'm liking, Kentucky all the way tonight, and hopefully, he gets his first one. Hey, are you going to go to the Crosstown Showdown on Thursday?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not set up to cover it. So if I do, it would be just to go take it in. But you know, you got to check the weather report on that. Is it supposed
to be nice? Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. So maybe I'll see you out there.
Okay. Yeah, because I'll be there. So hopefully, it's starting to get, that's Thirsty Thursday. And they're already starting the hype up for that. So there'll be a lot of students out there, getting a few drinks as always. They'll get a few drinks on Thursday, but it should be a good game.
Yeah, those kids get a little rowdy for me now, you know.
Yeah, they do. You're a little older now, Joe.
That's right.
Hey, Joe, I want to thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll talk again. We're going to be talking during the football season or during spring football a lot, so we'll do that a little bit more. So we'll talk to you a little later on, buddy.
All right, thanks, Earl. See you tomorrow,
buddy. Okay, yep, thank you. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Joe Rexroad from the Lansing State Journal. Hey, Glad you're with us today, and hopefully you'll come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to radio station WKAR in East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. We want you to have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and we look forward to talking with you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News in Washington.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.